I'm glad you're back with me again today as we pick up our continued description of the Battle of Gog Magog from Revelation chapter 20, verses 7 through 10. Very brief description there, but thankfully, the Holy Spirit, through the prophet Ezekiel, gave us a much more detailed description of this military operation in Ezekiel chapters 38 and 39. Now, we've already been through the description of the invasion itself. Gog, as I told you, is an ancient Babylonian name, Sumerian name, for the brilliant one. And that is a perfect parallel to the Hebrew Halel of Isaiah 14, which means the shining one or the brilliant one. It's Lucifer in the Latin text of Isaiah chapter 14. And so this is Satan. This is the troublemaker. And so we have developed this idea, and I've got a chart that I've referenced a couple of times for you to check out in my Living the Last Days Prophecy Seminar Notes, which is in the PDF resources section of the website, intotheword.net. I've laid out kind of an outline map of the current Middle East countries, and then I put a little arched curve to represent the highway of holiness that it is described in a couple of different places, stretching from ancient Assyria deep down into Egypt, with Jerusalem at the center of that highway of holiness. And the description we have from the millennial passages seems to indicate that the people in the millennium will be living along that corridor, and they will be required every year to travel along that highway of holiness to Jerusalem at the Feast of Tabernacles to reaffirm their loyalty to Jesus as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Zechariah chapter 14 says, though, that anyone who refuses to make that pilgrimage will lose their water rights. They will lose the rain showers that makes that land so prosperous. And so even though we're living in the millennial period, the rebels that refuse to make that trek, and I think more and more of them toward the end of the millennium will be doing this because they've made up their mind that they don't like Jesus, their land will dry up, and so they'll move away to another land, and they'll try there for a while. And then, of course, God will turn off the tap there, and they'll move farther away and farther over several different years, maybe even decades, until we find out in Ezekiel chapter 38 that the troublemakers that Gog, or Satan, recruits at the end of the millennium are living in the fringes of the Highway of Holiness corridor, up in Turkey, Armenia, and Azerbaijan, and Syria, in northern Iran, and Iraq, and places like that, and then down in southern Saudi Arabia, and Yemen, and Ethiopia, and out in Libya. And so I would encourage you to, again, check out my chart, because I think you'll find it easier to visualize this by looking at it than just me kind of describing it. And so Satan musters those forces. They come with their low-tech weaponry and their low-tech transport, which would be horses, and they march on Jerusalem. And I believe as they progress southward along the coast of the Mediterranean, because we're going to find out today that's the route that they take, I believe we immortals, we resurrected and transformed saints of all ages who are leading the mortals in an administrative fashion during the millennium, I think we'll evacuate out of the way of this advancing horde and leave it to God, because God is the one that strikes the blow. In the book of Revelation, it just simply says that fire falls from heaven and that's the end of it. But in Ezekiel, we are told that God hits them with an earthquake and he hits them with torrential rain. He hits them with hailstones. He hits them with fire and sulfur and destroys them in one specific place. Ezekiel chapter 39 comes back and details that part of the story. So let's read, starting at verse 1 of Ezekiel 39. You, son of man, this is God speaking to Ezekiel. That's his kind of pet name for Ezekiel. It means human. It eventually gets attached to Jesus as more of a messianic title. And of course, he was human as well. You, son of man, prophesy against Gog, against the brilliant one, supposedly, Lucifer, if you will, Satan, and say, thus says he who is God, behold, I'm against you, O Gog. I'm against you, Satan, chief prince of Meshach and Tubal. Those are places up in the Northlands from the corridor of the Highway of Holiness. I will turn you about and drive you forward and bring you up from the uttermost parts of the north and lead you against the mountains of Israel. One of the things that you need to always understand when reading Scripture is if you're heading toward Jerusalem from anywhere in the world. I mean, you could be on the top of Mount Everest, the top of the Himalayas. If you're going to Jerusalem, you're going up. Okay, that's just the way it works. So God says, I'm going to bring you up from the uttermost parts of the north. I'm going to lead you against the mountains of Israel. And then I'm going to strike your bow from your left hand, and I will make your arrows drop out of your right hand. So God is going to disarm him as he's on his way, going to take it away. And I think that might even happen with, the great earthquake and the rain and the hailstones and the fire and the sulfur. That would certainly disarm Satan and all his hordes. Verse 4, you shall fall, meaning die. You shall fall on the mountains of Israel, you and all your hordes. That word there is going to become important in a moment. And the people who are with you. And I will give you to birds of prey of every sort and to the beasts of the fields to be devoured. Now, I want to make a commentary here that I'll reinforce later. We know that in the millennium, all of the animals become peaceful and they become vegetarian again, because that was God's original design plan, was everybody was vegetarian. So we're apparently going back to that in the millennial period and beyond. So that includes the all the critters, all the birds and the animals. But God apparently gives these animals a cleanup job. And the easiest way for them to do cleanup is to eat it. Now, that's between God and the animals, okay? I think once they're done with this job, they get to go back to being only vegetarians. But God says here to Satan, I'm going to give you to birds of the prey of every sort and to the beasts of the field to be devoured. You shall fall in the open field, for I have spoken, declares he who is God. Now, that's not from a battle. I mean, we refer to this as the battle of Gog Magog, but it's not really much of a battle. It is God destroying this advancing horde. Boom, they're done. I will send fire on Magog and on those who dwell securely in the coastlands, and they shall know that I am he who is. Now, verse 6, I think, might be a reference to the, quote, non-combatants, end quote, that stayed back at home, back at the fringe areas, you know, the people that didn't want to go fight. I think they're going to be taken out at the exact same instant that their fighting forces are taken out by God. Verse number 7, and my holy name I will make known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will not let my holy name be profaned anymore. So this is going to be the end of anyone making claims against God ever again. Because once we're done with this, the only people left standing are those who have shown and sworn their loyalty to Jesus as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Everybody else, all the other troublemakers, are done. The nation shall know that I am he who is the Holy One of Israel. Behold, it's coming. It will be brought about, declares he who is God. This is the day of which I have spoken. So this is the battle, so to speak, of Gog Magog, a one-day event. The march took longer from up in the north, coming down into the Promised Land area. The battle itself, God took out in a matter of minutes. Those who dwell in the cities of Israel, so this is all the people that are left that belong to Jesus, they'll go out and make fires of the weapons and burn them, shields and bucklers, bows and arrows, clubs and spears. See, these are all low tech because, as I mentioned last session, the millennial period was a time with no warfare, and so you didn't need weapons. And so once Satan shows up and says, hey, let's go on the rampage against Jerusalem, they would have made quick weapons, and wood is one of the quickest available materials for making weapons. And so what happens is the people living in the new heaven, new earth, are going to do cleanup of all those weapons that were left behind when God destroyed the Gog Magog army. And because they're made of wood, they will make fires of them for 7 years. So think about how many wooden weapons must be laying around on the ground in order for people to pick them up and use them as kindling for a 7 year period. That's a lot of weaponry. Verse 10, so they will not need to take wood out of the field or cut it down out of any of the forests, for they will make their fires of the weapons. Now, some people are, I don't know why, but some people ask the question, well, why are they making fires anywhere? I thought they live in a perfect environment. Well, they do, but you're still probably going to cook certain things. And even just for fun, you make fires. I mean, I enjoy sitting around a campfire, even though I don't need it for warmth. It's just something to do. It's something special. And so, yeah, they're going to just use these as fuel for their fire. They will seize the spoil of those who despoiled them and plunder those who plundered them, declares he who is God. I would probably rephrase this as those that intended to spoil and plunder them, because that was originally the idea from chapter 38, is let's go get the goodies from these people. Well, they don't get nothing. Verse 11, on that day, I will give to Gog a place for burial in Israel. Now, it is important that we read that phrase right there, in Israel, inside the boundaries of the Promised Land. The Valley of the Travelers, east of the sea. And so this is where I think some of my friends who are prophecy Bible teachers like myself, I think they make an error here. When they see the phrase, the sea here, for some reason, and I've checked this in a lot of different commentaries, for some reason they think the Dead Sea. And I'm thinking, why? Why are you thinking the Dead Sea? The most natural route coming out of the north is along the Mediterranean coast, and that is the sea that most of Israel looked to as being the Big Sea. So east of the sea means somewhere along the Mediterranean coast. And so that's where this burial site is going to be located. I believe that is where the great earthquake took place. This enemy force, this huge invasion force, made its way down the Mediterranean coast, entered into the Promised Land territory, and at some place they would have turned toward Jerusalem and started going inland. And I think it's somewhere in that area that God caught them up in the earthquake and in the hailstorm and the great big rainstorm and the fire and the sulfur storm and destroyed them all. And so that is going to become their gravesite now. And it says, it, meaning this destruction area, will block the travelers, for there Gog and all his multitude will be buried. It will be called the Valley of Hamon Gog. Hamon is the word that we've had seen over and over again as hordes. So the hordes of Gog, the multitude of Gog. So that is where they're going to be buried, in one gigantic mass grave. Now, the flesh and other parts of their body that's digestible will be eaten by the animals, but a lot of their bones are going to be left, and that's what will be buried in this area, and nobody's going to live there anymore, and nobody's going to travel there anymore. They'll go around it, and that's what is saying here in verse 11. Now, verse 12, for 7 months, the house of Israel will be burying them in order to cleanse the land. So for 7 months, people, volunteers, will be collecting up skeleton parts, and putting them in this big mass grave in order to make sure they're all in one spot. All the people of the land will bury them, and it will bring them renown on that day that I show my glory, declares he who is God. They will set apart men to travel through the land regularly and bury those travelers remaining in the face of the land so as to cleanse it. At the end of the 7 months, they will make their search. And when these travel through the land and anyone sees a human bone, then he shall set up a sign by it till the burials have buried it in the valley of Hamon Gog. And then we have apparently a town that will be there, grow up. Hamonah is also the name of the city. Hamonah just means multitude. And thus shall they cleanse the land. So a great big burial detail as well to make sure that this battlefield gets cleaned up, and any of the people that kind of tried to run away and maybe didn't die in the exact same spot as the rest of them, those get picked up as well. And my suspicion is that there might be a cleanup detail done elsewhere up in the fringe areas where the, quote, non-combatants, end quote, would have also met their end. Now, we get back to the birdies here, and it also includes the predatory animals as we think about them today. As for you, son of man, thus says he who is God, speak to the birds and all beasts of the field, assemble, come, gather from all around to the sacrificial feast that I am preparing for you, a great sacrificial feast on the mountains of Israel. You shall eat flesh and drink blood. You shall eat the flesh of the mighty and drink the blood of the princes of the earth, of rams, of lambs, and he-goats, of bulls, all of them fat beasts of Bashan. You shall eat fat till you are filled, and drink blood till you are drunk, at the sacrificial feast that I am preparing for you. And you shall be filled at my table with horses and charioteers, with mighty men and all kinds of warriors, declares he who is God. Now, this has caused a bit of confusion, I think, for some people trying to teach this, in that the wording here is borrowed in the book of Revelation for a preparation for the Battle of Harmageddon, which takes place before the millennium. And because of that, some people insist that this battle has to take place before the millennium. And I, again, disagree, because there's too much other information in here that says this is after the millennium, not the least of which is the fact that Gog Magog is mentioned, and in the book of Revelation, that is after the millennium. The only thing that really ties the things together is the similarity of language. But think about it. This is basically an invitation to predatory birds and animals. Hey, there's going to be a lot of free food here in just a little bit. Get ready for it. That's all it is. It is a poetic way of describing a lot of people about to die. And so that's exactly how I think you should look at it, is that these animals will be temporarily put back on cleanup duty to clean up a battlefield. And then the people will finish the cleanup in the way that we've already had described. Verse 21, I will set my glory among the nations, and all the nations will see my judgment that I have executed, and my hand that I have laid on them. And the house of Israel shall know that I am he who is their God from that day forward. And the nations shall know that the house of Israel went into captivity for iniquity, because they dealt so treacherously with me that I hid my face from them and gave them into the hand of their adversaries, and they all fell by the sword. I have dealt with them according to their uncleanness and their transgressions, and hid my face from them. Now, this is where Ezekiel is being reminded of his responsibility. He's supposed to be telling the people of Judea specifically, but of the Israelis generically, that the reason you're in trouble with God and Babylon has destroyed the temple and taken you into exile is because of your sin. That's why all this trouble happened. And then Ezekiel is supposed to lay out the future. Verse 25, therefore, thus says he who is God, now I will restore the fortunes of Jacob and have mercy on the whole house of Israel, and I will be jealous or zealous for my holy name. They shall forget their shame and all the treachery they've practiced against me when they dwell securely in their land with none to make them afraid. So that is a description of after repentance, and I believe after resurrection and transformation and the catching up to meet the Lord in the air and be in the millennium, things will settle down into peace and prosperity. And everybody will live in unwalled areas, in security, and have marvelous agricultural success. Verse 27, when I've brought them back from the peoples and gathered them from their enemies' lands, and through them have vindicated my holiness in the sight of many nations, then they shall know that I am he who is their God, because I sent them into exile among the nations, the Assyrian exile in 723, the Babylonian exile, 587. But in Ezekiel's time, the promise is that at some point in the future, God's going to bring his righteous people back. And what he has in mind here is clearly the millennial period. I will leave none of them remaining among the nations anymore. So today, there's a lot of Israelis still living outside the boundaries of the Promised Land. But when Jesus Christ splits the skies, he will bring all of his people into the Holy Land, because that's where the highway of holiness is. That's where his millennial kingdom is going to be. That's where all of this period of testing, final choices, is going to take place. Verse 29, "And I will not hide my face any more from them when I pour out my spirit upon the house of Israel, declares he who is God." And of course, that ties it back to chapter 37, where we started this exegesis of Ezekiel, because there was the reminder of the Spirit of God being poured out upon these people. Well, we've got about a minute and a half left, so I want to read one last time the actual text in the book of Revelation of the Battle of Gog Magog and get us ready for what comes next in the book of Revelation. Revelation chapter 20, verse 7, "When the 1,000 years are ended, Satan," or Gog, as we've been talking about him, "will be released from his prison. He will come out to deceive the nations that are in the four corners of the earth." So the fringe, that's where these guys are at, are in the fringe of the land. "Gog and Magog, to gather them for battle. Their number is like the sand of the sea. And they marched up over the broad plain of the earth and surrounded the camp of the saints and the beloved city." So that was their target. "But fire came down from heaven and consumed them." So that's how God resolves it, quick. "And the devil, who had deceived them, was thrown into the lake of fire and sulfur, where the beast and the false prophet were, and they will be tormented day and night forever and ever." And that is the last of Satan.